This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Like a machine, making more podcasts than you've ever seen. Now he's finally back for more interviews. I hope you missed him, cause he sure missed you. It's the Tarrant Show, the Tarrant Show. Now he's all booted up and ready to go. It's the Tarrant Show, a simple name for a simple guy with a simple face. It's the Tarrant Show.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Tarrant Show. This week, I have another great guest for you today. I don't know why I say A and then transition to another. It's because I was about to say A, but then I went to another. And now it just says another, which is not how I say another. But I have another great guest for you this week. And that is Claire from Big Brother 23. Her job title was AI engineer or something at Microsoft. When she went into the house, I had a lot of questions about all of that, about Microsoft, about her job, about post-show life, what it's like to be in a post-show showmance, and all of the things that entails. Lots of questions for Claire, and I had a really good time talking to her. So this is Claire from Big Brother 23. Claire, hello. How are you?
Hello, Taryn. I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's starting to be nice weather in New York City, so I'm really enjoying life. Granted, right now it's freezing, but overall, I'm a good weather gal, I guess.
Why are you in New York then?
You know, who's to say? I don't know if I'll stay in New York for that long, but I think for me, coming out of college, granted, I was like, I think I kind of want to be in a big city. My family's from Virginia. And so I knew I want to be East Coast, at least right out of college. And my work told me you can go New York or Boston. So I figured I'd pick the lesser of two evils and head to New York. And then I've just really loved the city ever since. And then, of course, COVID hit, the great fleeing of New York City happened. You moved, of course, probably partially as a result of that. But I headed back, and then, you know, you have a yearly lease, so you can't really break that that often. But
yeah, I was stuck in Boston for so long. You know, it's I'm hardly one to talk.
It's such a huge leap moving at any point in your life and saying like, yeah, the friends I have here, you know, my coffee shop, even that routine, I'm pulling the plug on that and I'll just go and figure it out now somewhere else. So I respect that a lot.
Yeah. And like, you know, I had something I'd always wanted to do and I just had always just like been putting it off. And I was like, I have to do this now. Like it's now or never. Like I've got to start experimenting with these sorts of changes if I'm ever going to do them, because, you know, you're not young forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta take
advantage. I'm a big fan of just doing it. I just feel like once you set your mind on something, you just have to jump. Well, that sounds like ominous. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But,
Is that what Big Brother was like for you, though?
Yeah, that's what I would say that was like. Was me absolutely not being decisive. Just kind of, we'll see. Like, but I think going on the show.
No, yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's really what. Like the decision, you know, to go on Big Brother. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think at that point, I wasn't the most happy with my work exactly. I kind of figured, I'm also going in the summer period, which is our slowest period. And so if I can go and live out my dream, now might as well be a good enough time as any. And I'm not getting any younger and most likely I'll apply and nothing will happen here. And so I figured I might as well send it in. At the time, I sort of meant it for it to be practice for Survivor. Because I'd applied for Survivor, never heard back. And I had heard that other people had done that and like said that. I forget who it was now who applied and were like, hey, it was just kind of like practice. And like, this is what I really want to do. And so I was like, I'll just chuck it in and we'll just see. And I think my audition tape was significantly better than my Survivor one. And so I was going through the process. A few weeks beforehand was told you're an alternate. They like actually tell you when you're an alternate. If you're actually on the cast, they, you know, don't necessarily tell you that. And then I was devastated. And I had to make the decision because it's like a weird thing to tell your work, right? Like I might be gone for a week, with no phone contact and then I'll just be back. And I can't really explain why I'm leaving, but like, there's like a 10% chance I could be gone for this entire summer. And I also won't be able to tell you that. But like, it's low. Like that's how I really sold it to my work. I was like, it's low. Like I'll do the paperwork, but most likely I'll be back. But when I was flying out there, I was definitely flying out there with the knowledge I'll probably be back, but if I'm not, I could very easily lose my job. And they could just say, this isn't really reasonable. But I would say I took that jump and I just said, screw it. If for some reason I don't fly out there as an alternate and something happens and an alternate gets on, I could never, ever forgive myself. And I just don't like feelings of regret. I think that's like one of my driving forces is like, I don't want to regret stuff. And so, I decided, you know, fuck it. Let's just do it. Why not?
Yeah. And it worked out. There you go.
Yeah. You know, very easily. I could have just not been on the show. I would have been like, you know, listening to all the podcasts from that summer, like, man, like, you know, when you're in the hotel room, you're like ears always pressed against the door, like where we sequester. And you're like, who is that? Like, oh, it sounds like an old man. And I'm sure I would have been like, oh, I think I was next to Frenchie, like, you know, whatever.
Do you think you would have guessed that you were Christie's alternate?
I don't know. No, never. Maybe. No, but who, SB, I would have thought I was SB.
Yeah, I think so.
Like locked down. Like I went in the house and I was like, SB got the spot instead of me, which I think is genuinely true. Like, why would you have me and SB are very similar in so many of our respects of like who we are as like, you know, surface level people.
Yeah.
Deep down, very different people, very different life stories. But, you know, I heard Christie was vegan, so maybe I was, you know, granted, SB is vegetarian. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I'd say most people that go on Big Brother don't have like a 9-to-5 like job that they're like very happy with that they probably wouldn't want to lose that income. Like I would say a lot of people look at it as a vehicle to sort of like leave their job and try something new. But that's not really the case. It seems for you. I mean, you have a very nice job.
Yeah. Like I do artificial intelligence and machine learning at Microsoft, like one of the top 5 tech companies. Yeah. You can argue that in the world doing the coolest tech in my opinion. And like I said, I was like kind of unhappy with my job going into it, but it was also the busiest time of the year. And I started working again a week after getting off. I just like said, okay, like that was fun. I'm good to go though. Like I'm set. And I think that was my intention going in. Like I remember inside of the house, I would look around at the other people and they would of course be talking. We're going to be influencers. We're going to be actors. We're going to be singers, whatever. And I've seen the live feed. So I'm like, guys, people say this every year. And like the number that do that are very low. Like, I don't know, guys. Like, and I think me and Azza would just kind of like laugh about it. Like both both of us like very much career women, 9 to 5, like the corporate life, and be like, oh, okay, like good for you. And I think like a lot of people from my season are doing that, have done that, have found leveling amounts of success from that. The show is weird. Like I think before going on the show, I judged people that did that. And I said, like, you idiots, like you dum-dums, like you don't know. Like, I know better. I'm a corporate gal. Like, I would never do that. Like, how dare you? But like, I think it falls into the regret. Like, you don't want to regret it. You will literally never have an opportunity where you are coming off and you'll have, it's not that many followers anymore, whatever, 75,000 followers on Instagram in comparison. And why not make that money? Why not try that? And worst comes to worst, a year later, you'll just go back to work and update your LinkedIn and like no one will care. But if you don't really try it and try to put that into it, you might always wonder, what if I had been the one success case out there? Or what if I had not gone down this normal path? So I think that I understand why people do it. Granted, I don't like that kind of reliance on the public. I think when you go down that path, you're very vulnerable to public opinion. And I think that's fair, partially. But I never wanted to have pressure of this is what I should say, this is what I shouldn't say, or whatever. So I always, and that's just me as like a person, I was always like, that won't be for me whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a difficult thing. And there is like a weird judgment around Big Brother players that come out of the show and like try to do things. And I think, you know, in part it stems from like, especially back in the day when, you know, when it really was like you'd come out to not much and almost nobody made a living off of social media. And so the people that were like, oh, we're going to be like actors, we're going to be like celebrities, like that was kind of laughable. But you know, nowadays you are looking at a decent percentage of each cast that's like making, maybe not a living necessarily, but like a decent chunk of change off of the social media out of the house. And it's like, I feel like the audience doesn't want to look at that reality because it doesn't like fit what they want the people to be. But it's like, you know, like, they let them live. Like,
Like it is shocking. You like, you don't have to care if you don't want to care. Like, I think like maybe we've talked about this before. Like my fandom was always, I'd watch the season and then I would not care. I would not follow a single person. I said, you know, I loved your gameplay, but this isn't for me. Granted, I say that and I benefit from it. So, but I think like, I think more and more we're seeing people who have different sources of income. Like you don't need to necessarily be on reality TV to say like, screw it, I'm going to try to go big on TikTok and be like a micro influencer and have different kinds of streams of income, or start a YouTube channel, or be part of a podcast network, and you know, do all these different jobs that people would have not seen as realistic, but they're becoming more and more realistic. So it's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, your job is also interesting. Can you tell me more about, first of all, what it is, if I'm capable of understanding it, and then two, how you got into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm about to reveal sort of like a little bit of a deep, dark secret. My title isn't actually AI engineer. That was the nifty bow that I put on it for casting. So I'm a cloud solution architect focused on artificial intelligence and machine learning.
I get why you changed it.
Yeah, like it's not as like on the Chiron, it wouldn't be as fun. You would be like, I know she's a meteorologist, like wow. And so basically what I do is I work with actually like external basically customers, sort of in a consulting role. So they come sometimes with a problem and they say, hey, I think AI or ML, those might be the same thing in your mind. So I'll just say AI. I think AI could fix this problem for me. And so I don't really know, though, how to actually build that out. And so I will go to them and say, okay, here's how basically we can build out this solution, or like this product, this app, you can imagine. And here are all the pieces you'll need to fit together. And sometimes that's all I do. And sometimes I go a step further and actually work with them to code it, work with them to like test proof it. It really varies. So my job is sort of a third consulting, excuse me, a third programming, and a third, consulting, programming, teaching, and then maybe like a little bit evangelism of technology. Mm-hmm. So maybe kind of a little bit selling. And so it's a little bit of everything, and I enjoy it. So like some projects that I've worked on, I feel like that is what is actually useful for people. Some things that I've done, was I worked with, and this is public, like the ocean rescue, ocean cleanup, who deals with like finding plastics in the ocean. And we worked with them and they said, hey, I think I want to do something with computer vision and detecting where are plastics. So we like went in with them and helped them build out a machine learning model, basically saying, hey, this little thing is plastic and this little thing is just like some reflection off a wave or something of inconsequence. We do other things like I worked with a clothing company, I will say, to build a recommender for clothing. So if people come in and say, hey, I want to buy this shirt, let's automatically go through all their other clothing options that they have in the store. This is online, and say, oh, this skirt matches this shirt. These, shoes match this shirt, whatever this hat does. And a lot of this is subjective. So it's trickier than just randomly flipping a coin or saying like, this shirt's blue, these pants are white, this works. So it's can be very complicated. Sometimes it's like you build a chat bot. If you've ever had to deal with like an annoying phone call, like that might be me. I'm sorry. Like sometimes it's tricky. I don't know what to tell you. So that's like some of what I do. What was there a second part of that question?
Well, so how did you get into that? Like, what did was this always your goal to be where you are now? Like, what did you go to school for? How did you get a job at Microsoft? What's the story there?
Yeah, so I guess my like computer science story starts in high school. Really, it starts as me as a child being obsessed with computer games, and my mom homeschooled my two older sisters. And so she couldn't really watch me as much. And so she just put me in front of a computer and I just played like Freddy Fish and Putt-Putt all day long, and like math games and the typing games that like were just laying around. And like my mom likes to tell a story that I was better at math than my sisters. And she like really felt like she was failing because I learned from computer games. But you know, my mom is a fantastic person, not a teacher. So I was always a math science kid, always obsessed with computers. And then when I got to high school, I had a fantastic teacher, Mrs. Petit, who taught math, and she also taught computer science, and she encouraged me to do computer science. And so I did. I took 2 years of that. And then my parents were very supportive of me going into engineering, and like really wanted me to do that. I like computers the most out of all of that. So I decided to go to Michigan, study computer science. I had some, I definitely struggled like my freshman year. I think there's a huge learning curve of like college and classes and computer science. So like I was not gifted out of the jump with computer science. If anyone is listening and like interested in it, it can be hard. But I would say I was at one point I was like motivated by vengeance because I had a guy tell me like I should just do liberal arts instead of computer science. And I at that point I was like, I will spite you. I will now live my life for vengeance, essentially, and just like really stepped it up. Did computer science till like my junior year. And then there was a new major that was announced called data science engineering. And I, data science is essentially computer science plus statistics is how it was described to me. And I was obsessed with my statistics teacher. And I really enjoyed the classes and it was really the hot field. It's very machine learning adjacent. Mm-hmm. And so I made the switch over to that, major, which I think they like really like to talk about in my like casting stuff. Like, oh, I was the first female to major in graduating data science engineering, which is true. But it was a brand new major. Like there hadn't been that many people. Like I was probably like the first 15 people that had graduated that major anyways. But like, you know, we love to sell a story. And it was true. There weren't that many people. And it was very male dominated. And so that's sort of how I, you know, went through it. My sophomore year, I got an internship at Microsoft. And I'm lucky because tech companies like to recruit from sort of the same subset of colleges. So like I was very privileged to go to Michigan because I don't know if this it's public enough knowledge. Like Microsoft very heavily recruits from Michigan, like UT Austin, Georgia Tech, not necessarily like the Yales, but like the big good public schools. Mm-hmm. And so I got a internship my sophomore year, summer going into junior year, another internship, going into my senior year. And then both those internships were very software engineering, working on like databases essentially, but like the tiniest little piece of technology in the tiniest little microservice in the tiniest, you know, whatever that you've ever seen. I wasn't working on Word. Like if you know, you would never ever see or probably be impacted by like the things I was doing, which is fantastic for a lot of people. Like it was so interesting. People on my team had PhDs, like were so smart. But it wasn't necessarily for me. So I knew this isn't really what I want to do. What else is there at Microsoft? And I decided, you know, let's network, I've been talking too much today now, Taryn. Now it's becoming apparent.
So it's too warmed up.
It's too loose. The larynx. I finally found eventually the team I was going to be with. And they told me, you can work remote. This is a remote position from the get-go. And I said, oh, yeah, baby. Like, I love the sound
of that.
That's
the good stuff.
I have no idea what that even looks like. And then they advised me, we'd like you to start in a city though, just so you have people to mentor you. Which is how I ended up at, in New York City. And I never really looked back. I was very lucky to have a awesome manager, be on an awesome, very supportive team. My manager ended up calling me like the day after I got out of the house saying he was quitting, but like that's its own thing. But I was very, very lucky. And you know, because of a huge number of circumstances that like led me to being where I am now. Life is very random. But I enjoyed it and I'd recommend it to people, but my path was like very weird. I feel very odd whenever anyone asks me like, how did you get there? Like, how can I do it? Because so much of life comes down to luck. Yeah. And then, you know, being lucky enough to be in situations where you can take advantage of it. So I was lucky enough to go to Michigan. I was lucky enough to get that internship. I was lucky enough to talk to the right people to get me on this team. But I would say like, if you're a college student majoring in computer science, don't feel like you just have to be a software engineer or like a product manager. Those are kind of like the two tracks that you're sold. You know, like you majored in this, you can do A or B, you can work at whatever company, you'll make good money. But there are also tracks, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, that people aren't really aware of. And I would say like, don't be afraid to go down one of those odder paths.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you got back from the house, what was the response? Were they like, you think you can come back now? Or were they totally chill?
So like I said, my manager had just left. So they were like, you have a new manager. There's an interim manager, whatever. But my manager was like, they're very nervous. You're not coming back. I took care of everything. Like, we got the paperwork, but like, they don't think you're coming back, basically. And so I reached out and I said, I would like to, if I could. They said, okay, sure. You transition back. I was lucky. It was a very turbulent time on my team because we had just been restructured, that I could kind of like be a little mentally fucked up for a few months and like no one really cared that much. Very beneficial for me.
Being gone for so long. It didn't even make a dent.
They're like, Claire didn't really talk in that meeting, but like we're used to it. But it was funny seeing everyone's reactions because some people like came on calls right away and they were like, I did not watch a single second of it. Like, I have no idea. I'm assuming you didn't win, but I don't know. Like, I felt like it was an invasion of privacy. I was like, okay, like, I didn't win. Like, it's chill. And then some people, it was very clear they had really watched.
Yeah.
And I, like, heard stories of other people, like, yeah, we'd be in a team meeting, and they would speak up and be like, guys, this is what Claire's doing right now. Yeah. Like, making breakfast. And it's like, oh, I don't really love either sides of this. this coin. And then sometimes I'm in like very big meetings, like 100, I think I was like leading this like 150 person, like internal AI training. And a guy, like, some of my coworkers were like typing, like, oh, it was their first time seeing me, like, Claire, you're back, whatever. And then someone like came off mute and it was like, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of freaking out. Like, I like this is wild. And I was like, oh, like, okay. Like, thank you. And then you have to kind of, and then other people are like, explain like what's going on.
Yeah,
it's like, I love this show. Very much. It's a little embarrassing to tell people. You went on any reality TV. But overall, people were like awesome about it. Very great. Very supportive of me. So it was very, very nice because I did not know what I was going to get coming out of it. And I think like you always hear of contestants who like get fired from their job when they're on the show. And they are not aware of that at all, or that was even a chance that could happen. And so I was also like, I don't think I did anything, but like very easily, like maybe I could have, who knows?
Yeah.
And so that was also a fear that I had. Like, I think one of the first things I asked, maybe it wasn't the first thing, but eventually I was like, when was like my most canceled? Like, when was I like really screwed? Like, I would love to know that. Like,
on a scale of greenlit for another season to fully canceled, how many episodes have I got?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm picturing like, an internal Microsoft meeting and somebody's like, hey, I was just wondering, so are you like mad at Tiffany?
I've heard it all. I've really heard it all from people on very public calls. People feel very entitled to ask whatever. And especially, I think I did a talk like in my internal, like a 100 person team, about my experience on the show and like lessons I learned, and ways it could apply to
That's
business.
Very corporate.
You know? It was very corporate. My corporate jargon was like, I was like firing them off. I was like, I'm back in the saddle. Like, I was like, the learned lessons, like, you know.
Some manager is just like, this is a really good idea. This,
Yes. But I think it was like the week after Derek and I announced our relationship. Mm. And then,
boy.
People really had the questions then. It was an interesting time, but it was a pretty kick-ass PowerPoint. Like it was the good Venn diagram of like reality TV and corporate jargon, you know. It was good stuff.
Nailed it.
Maybe I should do a TED talk on it. I don't know. I'll submit it to a conference or something.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of which, you have joined the ranks of Big Brother showmances to have started the showmance after the season.
Yes.
But not before. There was a big, like, you know, there was an announcement, an article,
a photo shoot.
I obviously can't speak for you, but I feel like that must have been out of your comfort zone.
Yes. Yes, it was. Like I said, I was someone who was like, I'll get off the show.
Yeah.
I'll disappear. And you people will never hear from me again. And actually, one of my coworkers asked me that on the call, like, if you are claiming like you don't want attention, you literally did this huge ass thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really think this makes sense. But let me, I guess, go in order the questions, sort of. I did not really expect that I would be on a showmance. I think in my intro video, I do say I want to be on a showmance.
You gotta say that.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I was really selling myself as like a bisexual woman. Like, who knows? Like, who knows who might be in that house? Like, granted, of course, like, dumbass me. They're not going to put... I think they would love to. But they never really have before put, you know, two single queer women in the house who are out. And so, you know, what a fun thing for me to sell them, though. And I was like, I know this is potentially beneficial to people's games. We've seen that in the past. But there's no way. I do not know how to flirt. And I do not know how to flirt on camera when people are watching, if it might not be reciprocated for sure. You know, I do my best work when I'm, you know, like dancing somewhere, or like I'm just very direct, which like you can't really be in the house. And so once I was in the house, you also like lose all the, I don't know, me, I lost, like, I didn't want to eat. There was no way I was thinking really about, like, you know, making out with anyone. Granted, like, you know, you get a few crushes here and there. But like, you're not really, I was never really thinking about that. And so I was surprised that my feelings for Derek like grew very quickly. Like I was into Derek. If you watch my pizza, what can I say? I was into Derek in the house, especially like, I feel like once he left, I like really like came to terms with that. And so I was surprised by how quick our feelings really developed for each other. Granted, I was talking to, I think, my mom about that, and she was like, yeah, but also like you were in a very weird spot. Like I understand why people hook up in Jury. Like that has been a known factor. We were also, so I knew there is a high probability this relationship wouldn't last, just based off the stats and the numbers of relationships. And so, but I also knew that I'm not someone who really develops strong feelings for people, period. Like, I would say that's the end of the sentence. I've never really been like that crazy over someone. I have a few very good deep friends. But for me, what I have with Derek, I was like, I think this is worth pursuing. Like, I think I am feeling things that I like have never really felt for someone else. Granted, we're also just went through this huge trauma, and you are literally the only person I have to think about right now.
Yeah.
I think that helps expedite things. we also went through this crazy experience. Like, it helps expedite. But I was like, okay, let's do it. And then we decided we actually wanted to date. And I also knew I didn't want it really to be a secret. Like, I didn't want us to have to be like hiding things or like tiptoeing around. Obviously, there was a lot of speculation about me and Derek, about Derek and Tata, you know, whatever. And I didn't really like that. Like, I don't want to be a like, oh, well, what if this, what if that? Mm-hmm. So we decided, okay, let's go public with it. And then maybe this is naive of us, but we're also like, we could post this to our Instagrams, but like people just might not see it. What if we just announce it, whatever, through one of these outlets? Like, what if like we can have someone like tweet it out or something? And so we decided, okay, let's go through. We like reached out to CBS and we told them what the situation was. And then they said, okay, go through our people. We have like a connection to Sharon from Us Weekly. She does the interviews, whatever. And so we decided to go through them. We supplied our own photos. All those were hand selected. I am embarrassed to say. And then also we were a little bit like, no one will ever care about us as much as, you know, the public will never care about us as much as they care about us, like right at this moment. Mm-hmm. And I will literally never be in a magazine ever again. So why not do this weird ass thing that is very public, you know, attention seeking? But why not just drop this bombshell, I guess, if you will. And then whatever, it's out there. Like, we don't have to worry about it. And I think I flew out. I had left LA. The show ended. I left LA. I went home and then I went back to LA. And I went back because I knew the article was dropping and like we didn't want to be away from that crazy experience. Granted, now looking back, like we were 2 weeks into a relationship. Like that is like, I don't know if I would do that now. Like, you know, like we didn't really know what our
relationship was. It probably felt like a lot more than 2 weeks, considering the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like that's how I could really justify it was like, I don't remember who it was, but some past BB person told me like a week in that house is like a month outside.
Yeah.
And that is very true for all the relationships that you develop there, and how much intense time that you talk and you get to know someone. And then, you know, times two in jury. Granted, you're also in a very much a silo. You don't really know who these people are outside of that house. I think everyone brings a different part of themselves to the game and everyone leaves a part of themselves out of the game, honestly. We decide, you know, fuck it. And so we dropped it and announced it. And when I flew back to LA the night before it dropped, I was vomiting the entire time. And like Alyssa came in the first night and like was throwing up. And I was like, okay, like, damn, anxiety does, you know, wild things to different people. Like, could never be me. I've never thrown up from anxiety. But I couldn't keep water down. There's some really embarrassing stories of me like puking in cars, as we're sober, like whatever, as we're just like driving up to the airport. I think Derek was driving like Kylan's car and I like threw up in his. I'm sorry if people don't like throw up. I'm realizing that. Like, some people are very affected by this. I will stop talking. But I was like throwing up in like his like workout bottle and like it was my first time seeing Kai in like a week and he was like, come in the car. And I had to be like, don't look at me. Like, and like go and throw out the vomit cup. Like, it was, and then oh, it was bad. And that was my first night I met Tiffany's son too, and he was just like, watching me like hurl, I guess, like outside of like a Korean restaurant we were gonna go to dinner, like, because I drank water. So that really affected me a lot, just the nervousness of announcing it. But then once we had, I was like, all right, like, this is gonna be what it's gonna be. And I think I didn't know what to expect afterwards. I had no idea if people would hate me, if people would like really, I felt like people were going to hate me. And like transparency, I was like, damn, like we're both just going to like really lose followers, like whatever. Cause like you get sold a very weird narrative, like when you, right after you leave the house and you see like, oh, this is like a public's perception of everything. But the response was very good. And like, I feel like I have, you know, it's a weird, alumni group to be part of showmances, jurymances, people post the showmances. People that I've talked to that, you know, have gotten together seem like very, very good. Like, I think we were talking to Tyler and Angela, maybe like in the weeks following, or like Jess Graff and Cody, Nicholson, or whatever her last name is now. And they were like, it's going to be very hard in like ways that are different from your other friends' relationships, but like, it's worth it. Like, hold on to it, whatever, like just get through it. Mm-hmm. And it'll be good. So it's been good.
Big Brother 26, proposal in the house. Is it happening?
Oh my God. Good God. No, I don't think so. When I saw, Icon and Dom's proposal, I was like, I was straight up crying when I saw it. I'm not really a crier. But no, I don't think so. I don't think that is the move there, but.
All right, we're keeping the clip just in case.
Okay, clip it.
It feels like it's interesting because you know, you are sort of like back to working your job. Derek is I think still kind of like in the social media realm, right? So yeah. You're kind of like pursuing different areas here. What's it like to have that sort of difference?
Yeah, I think that is, it's hard, right? It's very different. I think that we are both supportive of the other person doing what they're doing. But also like, it is very weird. Like I will be working a 9-to-5 job. Derek is working a weird, very odd hours job. And so it's very tricky to try to align our schedules, you know, but I think when he first was pursuing it, I was a little judgmental of it. I was like, okay, like you had like your startup, like what happened to your startup? Like,
yeah.
This is what you sold yourself to me as, like, what is this? And so I think I was very surprised by that. And I couldn't quite understand it, but I feel like, as the months progressed, I was like, okay, no, this is making sense. Like, I see what you're trying to do. And also like Derek did work in tech. He has money saved. You know, he has whatever investments and stuff. So it's not really like it's a crisis if he's not raking in the big bucks. But it was tricky to try to figure out what our schedules look like. And that was like, a few months ago, Derek was in LA for like an extended period of time. Just because more people that are out there are content creators. And I made it very clear to Derek, like, I'm happy to do content with you. But I can't be like the only person you're creating content with because this is your job. Mm-hmm. And so I can't be your coworker and your girlfriend. Like that's not a fair expectation. And like, I don't really want to make my money off this. So like, I don't really have the same necessary incentive that you do. And I want to be very cognizant of not just putting our entire relationship on social media. Right. I think there's a huge monetary benefit to being in a showmance. I think over and over again, you see, you know, whatever, my followers jumped 30,000 after Derek and I announced we were in a relationship. We like talked to some brand people and they were like, honestly, like a wedding, like would really bring up a lot. And the real moneymaker, a baby. You guys should TikTok, you know? And I'm like, okay, like that is not what I want. Like, I don't want us to be like driving our relationship or whatever because of monetary impact here. That, you know, I think if that works for people, like do it 100%. put your entire relationship out there, like be very like, you know, only like create contact with each other. Like so many people do that and they make it work. And that just isn't me. I just don't really have that desire. And so I think it's still us figuring it out. And so when Derek was out in LA though, he could be around other content creators and people who were going back and forth with, hey, this is what I think you should be doing, or hey, like this idea is good, this idea is bad. Because like, I think all BB people coming off, like none of you have created real content. Brittany has. Brittany, you know, was a dancer, but no one really knows what they're doing. And I just couldn't quite be that person to like figure that out for him. And so it's, you know, the acknowledgement of like, yeah, go and live in LA for like a month, 2 months, whatever, and figure it out. You know, that's your job. That's your career. Like I can never be like, oh, blah, 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 like, why aren't you in New York? I don't know. Like it's your job. And so I think like, when you think about it as a job, it's like easier. That was a very long answer. But like, it's
long answers
it's
are what this is for. Yeah.
But like so many people do like odd job, you know, odd job boyfriend, 9-to-5 girlfriend or whatever that meme is. And it's like setting boundaries, setting schedules, figuring out expectations and then like clear communication, like the definitions of all core relationships or good relationships, I feel like. Just also like magnified and in a weird space now.
Yeah,
but it's interesting.
Do you think you're going to, I mean, we sort of touched on this at the beginning, but like, do you think you're going to stay in New York? Do you think you might go out to LA since you do work remotely? Like what, do you have any thoughts or plans there?
Nothing really that defined. Nothing that defined really, but my lease is up at the end of May. And so that makes things a little tricky, because I have to try to figure out what am I going to do? And I think most likely I will be out in LA for, a few months. I don't think I'm going to get a year lease necessarily. But I think, you know, why not go experience it? I have a remote job. I can do this from anywhere. And I never have, you know, during COVID, I did it from home, but why not go and experience it? And I think like a dream I have of what I would like my next year to be like, would look something like living in LA for like 3 months and then going and trying different cities out. So going and living in Colorado for 3 months. I don't ski at all, but like in my ideal version of myself does.
Yeah.
Then going and living in like Austin for 3 months and then going and living in Washington, D.C. for 3 months and figuring out where would I actually like to live, or like whatever cities, where do I actually like to live?
Try out and San Diego.
Taryn, I'm very, very tempted by San Diego, actually.
Let's do it. Come visit me. We'll hang out. We'll show you around.
Oh, please. Me and Derek did a like very quick road trip when I went out and visited him in LA down to San Diego. Loved it. Like so nice. Yeah. Okay. I'll hit you up if I'm, I just will be in LA this summer at some point. So, you know, I think I would probably like San Diego and DX would probably love LA, but,
it's close enough. Like,
yeah. They're very close. And I'm also someone who I'm like, I don't necessarily need to move in with him. Like our relationship is still relatively new. But granted, I do not really drive that much. It's something I am working on as I think about moving out of New York.
Yeah.
That is a big fear I have. I don't know. Did you have a car when you were in Boston? Do people have cars in Boston?
I didn't for a long time. For a long time, I was a biker. And that sucked in the winter, obviously. But I eventually got a car. And I have a car out here. And yeah, you drive everywhere for sure. Unless you're like, you know, deep in downtown and you never leave. But, you know, it's probably not what's going to be happening.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Maybe I'll get a motorcycle. Maybe I'll also become a biker.
You can become a biker, yes.
In a different sense. But I do like a city bike around New York City. I like a bicycle ride.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it for a little while. There was a part of me that was like, yeah, yeah, I can take the cold, even though it made my hands fall off. The hands were the worst part because they're so exposed.
Very understandable.
Yeah.
That's like people in New York, like the delivery guys, maybe they had this in Boston. They have like sort of gloves on attached to the bike. Do you have this? And it's like, but not gloves. It's like 100 plastic bags. Oh. I don't really know how to explain this phenomenon of like guys running around and they just, it looks like plastic bags like wrapped around their hands and then they get off and it's like you slide it out. Think about it. I don't know.
Maybe I should have thought about it, but yeah. I luckily I don't think
you
have I'll
a car,
have to.
And you live in San Diego. Yeah. So why am I telling you this?
Hopefully I'll never be that cold again in my life at this point. God.
That's fair.
How did you get into Big Brother Survivor in the first place? Because and I know that like you were sort of more into the Survivor end of it, but what attracted you to these shows?
Yeah, so Survivor, I started watching as a kid. Like Survivor, I was the youngest of three. And one of my first memories, I swear, one of my first memories is Scoop and Folly in the Fire. And then after that, my parents didn't really let me watch Survivor until I was a little bit older. But we would do like I feel like it's a classic story. We just would watch it every single Wednesday. Or Thursday. It used to be on at Thursdays, maybe, or Thursdays and Sundays. I don't remember. But every single Thursday, we would watch it. And like the clear memories of like Rupert, like all these people, like, you know, Ozzy, like Ethan's on, like all these people, James, of course, like Sandra, Courtney, whatever, all my icons, growing up and like watching them and just absolutely loving the show. And then I think we dropped off like after Heroes vs. Villains. But I am someone, my whole family loves games. Like we are just have always been like a game family. I feel like before it was like cool to be into games. Like my family always had the weird board games. And we like always played them. Like we were playing Catan, you know, before anyone else, like before it was cool. Like, I don't like Catan. That's on the side. Yeah, but like the odd games. And so that just always did fascinate me. And then when I was in high school, my family moved a lot growing up. So we would move basically every 3 years just because like both my parents went back to school, when they were much older, like my dad has a PhD now, my mom is a doctor and they were neither of those when I was born. And so we really moved a lot for their like graduate level education. And I feel like a lot of this stems from me not really having friends. And I didn't really have that many friends. My like first year there, I like really went through some shit. And I was like, what's been going on with Survivor? Like, I used to love this show. And I think I saw an ad for it. And so my first season watching it back was Karamoa, which is not regarded as a good season. And it had returners on it who I had never seen, who no idea who Cochran was. And I loved it. I loved the season. And then is the next season Kageyan? What's the next season after Karamoa? And then I was hooked. Or is it Blood versus Water?
I was thinking Blood versus Water is my
first
thought.
Yeah, and then it was Blood versus Water. I don't know. But then from then on, I was hooked, essentially. And I said, now this is really interesting. The game had very much changed since I like remember watching it. And I was like fascinated. I made all my friends watch it. And that was really when I started deciding, like, I want to be on this show. And like, I'm not a believer of manifestation. I want to say that. Like, I have this whole, I'm now going to go on a side. I have a whole theory, and maybe this is insulting, I don't know, that a lot of celebrities are very big into religion or into manifestation or some explanation for why their life is like what it is. Because when they look at their lives, you have 50 million followers. Like something has to have been the cause of this. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the odds of that happening to a random person? It must be because of something. And so you justify it and you say, well, again, this is not like, I don't want to like be dissing or anything, but it's like, oh, God is so great. God is so good. God really provides for me. Like, therefore I will very much believe in this. And this is like an aside theory that I have about the Kardashians as a whole. But I think it also kind of applies to manifestation. You really hear about manifestation for people that good things have come to.
They must have done it themselves.
Because obviously, like, why would that random thing have happened to this person, not this person? It's because you manifested it. Mm-hmm. Why am I dating this person? It's because I manifested it. Like, you want to ascribe some reason for this randomness of life. And I think it's very easy for me to want to say, like, well, I manifested being on this show from the high school because I loved it. But really, I was so obsessed with this show. And I was told to kind of, hey, if you want to be on the show, you have to live an interesting life. That's the best. You know, I think I saw that tip somewhere. And so I decided I want to live an interesting life. I want to be an interesting person to maybe get myself on this show. And I also love it. So I'm going to consume it all and become a super fan, which I think in this round of casting helps you get on the show, whatever. But I just loved it. I love the idea of scheming, betraying people, all of that. And then when I went to college, I kept watching it. I started watching old seasons of Survivor. And then my sophomore year, when I was it my sophomore year? I don't remember. One of the summers of when I was in college, I started. No, I remember. Okay. My freshman year, my family had just moved again. I did not really have an internship. And so I was home and I started watching 17. And I just kind of watched Big Brother 17, the shows, because I had nothing to do that summer. And this was something that could consume my time. And then my sophomore year, I was an intern. And again, didn't really have many friends. I did have friends, but like not really people I wanted to like eat lunch with every day. And so I would book out a room for myself, like a meeting room every single day and watch live feeds. And then I'd watch live feeds at night because I was like, I have no friends. This is perfect. Like, these are my friends now. this is who I'm eating lunch with. And that was like 18. So like that was a good live feed season, I'll say. So I'm like, now I'm eating lunch with Ray. Raven, like, this is fun. Was that season? Raven's 19. Okay. 18 was like Victor, Devon's second season, Paul. Okay. I also did it my second summer there. Of the like really getting into it, getting into live feeds. And then when I started working, like I said, our summers are very slow. And so then I really got into the live feeds then. And in the meantime, still watching Survivor, still watching Big Brother. When I was in college, I became very my freshman year, maybe I became like I really became a fan of Maryland Survivor Maryland, these college made versions of it. Probably because I didn't have friends, just assuming based off the pattern of my life. And I was like, this is fun. Like, realistically, I would never get on this show. But this is something I could do. Like, this is sick. I hope someone does this. Like, I hope someone makes this. And then I can play because I would love to play. And no one made it. And then going into my senior year, I said, screw it. If no one has made like a college version of this, I would like to make a college version of this. And my like little and my sorority connected me to one of a guy she works with who was like the second or like equally a big fan of Survivor as I was. And so we like worked on that and then we made a college Survivor Michigan, the first season together. And that was like, college is hard. So like a lot of high highs and a lot of low lows for me that semester. I also like graduated a semester early. So that was my last semester. But I loved it overall. Like I loved the plotting. I loved the scheming. Like I loved, like listening to the confessionals. I like doing casting. I just really, really enjoyed like the process. Like I remember the players would always be like, Claire, you're just like smiling. So like I was the filmer also. Okay. I was not like in front of the camera, like, you know, and so I was very like content though, just to be a part of it. And so I would just be like, like a little blindside, you know, whatever. And that like really reignited like, oh, this is something like, yes, this is awesome. I love this so much. And then I graduated and then you don't really have anything to fill that bubble. And so then I started kind of applying to these things, and still being like obsessed with them essentially. I don't know. They're just, it's just very fun. And then like, there are 1,000 other shows that are kind of tangential to it. Right. So like The Amazing Race, I got so into The Genius, you know, all these kind of The Mole, like I went back and watched all of those. Like I find the idea of manipulation and gameplay and trying to out strategize, what's the intersection of game theory in this, like just very fascinating. Like it's just so good. Like, I don't really know. Like one of my good friends whose weddings I had to miss actually had never in her life ever seen an episode of Big Brother or Survivor. We watched like The Bachelor together. Like that was her vibe, was like The Bachelor, nothing else. Very much like, I would say like a angelic person, like, you know, like she wouldn't like scheme or plot or anything. Not a manipulative bone in her body. And she was like, glued to the live feeds the entire summer and was like, this is fun. What else is like this? And my roommate told her like, oh, well, Claire really likes Survivor. And she watched the entirety of Survivor, all 41 seasons before I was out of the house.
Wow.
And she was like, why did we ever watch The Bachelor? Like, why didn't we have Survivor watch parties? Like what, like what, like why would, what, like, what were we doing? We were so foolish. And I think more people would like these shows if it wasn't like Survivor. That's like, that's so odd. Like if people were watching network television, I think like these shows would just be the biggest thing. If they were on like Netflix, they would just be like the biggest thing, but I digress. So that's really what it stemmed from, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like one of the reasons I love, it's like sci-fi and fantasy, as a genre is because like good sci-fi and fantasy is about, taking like human elements and quantifying them into like a literal, either like device in sci-fi or magic in fantasy, and playing around with like human nature and behavior through that lens. And shows like Big Brother and Survivor are like that in a different way, where they take these elements of human interaction, behavior, and communication, and they gamify it, and they make it extreme in that way. And I love examining, you know, people and behaviors through these like extreme lenses. It's so fascinating, and that's what draws me to it. Now that you've played, you know, we hear from a lot of people that once they've played the game, once they've been on the show, it changes for them, whether it's that it's demystified because they've seen the inner workings, or that it's like traumatic to think about or to watch, or it's just weird. And it's just like, whether or not it's like positive or negative, just, it's not really the same. And they usually don't enjoy it as much. Some people who like never really watched the show will like, oh, I just discovered the show after I played, and they're like, this is great. But most of the time, when somebody has a very high level of fandom coming in, their level of fandom coming out is not as high as it was before. Have you found that to be the case for you at all?
Transparently, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, I think Celebrity, I was invested. I did not really watch live feeds, though. Like, I am a live feeder. Like, that is, like, I'm someone who, like, I work in the summer, and then I have my second screen up of live feeds. And I listen to the updates. And I will say, for Celebrity, I started off doing live feeds, and it dropped off, and then I would listen to your daily updates, which is sometimes how I would consume the end of a season in general in Big Brother. Once you get to the end, not much might be happening. And then Big Brother Canada, I'm really not watching it anymore. I started the first few weeks, you know, I talked to Chada a good amount. Chada has been raving about this season. I talked to Chada and Brayden from Big Brother Canada 9, and they were both like huge fans of this season. And just like, this is one of the best ones, blah, 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 blah. And I think it is hard for me to really get back into, which I was not expecting. I'm very interested to see how I'll feel about US. Mm-hmm. Because I think there is something different to Canada versus US, you know. I think kind of weird, but once I got off the season, I would meet, like you're saying, I would meet alums, and I would, you know, be curious. I'd be like, oh, do you watch the season? And they'd be like, no, not really. And I'd be like, okay, well, kind of screw you. Like, yeah. why are you even talking to me? Like, you don't know who I am then. Like, you don't know this season. Like, you think you're better than me? Whatever. And I never thought I would be one of those people, but I'm like, I kind of get it. Survivor, my fandom has not disappeared. I think I have way more respect for people who are playing Survivor now. And I think I have more respect for anyone playing these games than I did before. I think, you know, the inner mechanisms, there's nothing really there to disillusion me. I feel like if you watch the feeds, you know the inner workings, essentially. But I think it's hard for me to get as invested, because I really recognize that these are just people. And I really recognize they are making decisions to the best of their ability. And you know, if someone is racist or homophobic or whatever, like, no, fuck them. Like, we're not apologizing for that. But for most of these people, they're trying their best. They don't really know what they're doing. And I think, like, I don't get like the same, I haven't gotten the same pleasure of like, this idiot, like, you're dummy. Like, you're not doing a good thing. Like, and I think I do still get like that buzz when people are making good game moves, or if people are doing like something strategic or like something really clever. But I think for the most part, like, I've lived these daily interactions. So like, a lot of the appeal of live feeds was like me having friends, you know, like, as much as you're friends with these people, you're not, unfortunately. But like, getting to know who these people are and like what makes them tick, and like, oh, is this going to be a fun conversation? And I think it's very apparent to me that these are people. And like, I think the players have been humanized to me in ways that, like, I don't know if you can really be humanized unless you've done it and you just realize, like, you didn't manifest this. You're just a person who this randomly happened to. And so I think that is also a little bit less appealing to me. For that reason, I'm not as excited about live feeds. And I know that the show's not worth watching without live feeds, because I've been a live feeder. And so it hurts it. Because if something is interesting strategically happening, I don't know the backstory because I haven't been keeping up, really. And so, like, sometimes I'm trying to like keep up. I see, like, you know, shit's going down on Twitter. And so I'm like, I got to tune in the past 3 episode days of live feed updates from you. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? But I think it's hard for me to, at least in these past seasons, really invest as much. I think maybe this with US, I think maybe I will get into it just because it is like the successor of my season. And I'm like, I am still very fascinated with like, how do dynamics play out? What does that look like? I think I'm very nervous of like the fallout of the cookout, but I'm also like very intrigued by what is this next season going to look like? And maybe just for that like morbid fascination, I will like stay tuned and see, you know, who are these people? Cause like also in a weird way, these are sort of my peers now. Yeah. And like, I've gotten, you have met them as well, Taryn, peers of you. Like, I've hung out with the people on past seasons before. And like, some of them have become genuinely actually good friends of mine. So, you know, it's also like, who's going to be my friend next? I guess. Yeah. Like, who am I going to dip out of this pot and toss on the friend plate? I don't know. That's kind of weird.
That was a little dark. Who am I going to consume?
I don't know. I think like alums and the current class of like Big Brother have weird relationships, kind of in general.
Yeah.
Of like, well, my season, but then also I think your fame on a season is so short lived. I think you do like people, other alum warned us, like there'll be people who just want to take a photo with you and then like skedaddle on their way. They don't really care. And so I don't want to be that person either. But I think give me time. I think, and then I think I will see, you know, time will tell. I never really liked celebrity anyways.
It wasn't exactly like a great season.
No, Survivor will always really hold a very warm place in my heart. Yeah. But so will Big Brother, of course, now that I've played it, especially.
Yeah.
Can't drop it now.
So what's in your future? What does your life look like in 10 years, Claire?
Well, gosh, Sharon, really, this is a very odd interview for me to do because I also, when does this interview, like you release it later, right?
This one will come out right away. Cause I'm dry. I've got no, got none left.
Oh no, the pot is dry. Well, I will say like, I think that my job might change, shortly. I think I'm okay to say that based off like my calendar. So this interview is also tricky because I think my job will be different very soon. And then, so who knows? But you know, I think in an ideal world, I'm happy. I don't, that's cliche. We did this game with my friends where it's like, oh, if you could have the answer to one question, what would you ask? And my friend said, I would want to know if I was happy. I was like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Why would you ask that? Because what if someone's going to say you're not going to be happy?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
The question should be, what will make me happy?
This is
right.
Good question, Taryn. Good question. Yes.
That's the question.
Like, what will bring me the most joy in my life? You know, or whatever. So I think time will tell. I don't think I'm manifesting anything else. You know, I'd love to be on Survivor, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. Spoiler. But you know, I think hopefully I'll still have good friends. I will hopefully be doing something I love. I'll still be reading books, and time will tell. I don't know. I don't think you need to have anything planned out that far. I'm not a goal setter, unfortunately. No. But I think I don't think I'm saying no to any opportunities. I also feel like you should live life opportunistically. We'll see. Who knows? What about you, Taryn? Where will you be in 10 years?
I have no idea.
Good answer. Yeah. Good answer. You said the same thing. One of us just took a lot longer.
If they ask you to play Big Brother again.
Yeah.
You're easy. Down. All right.
Yeah. Maybe not this year. But I don't think so.
A little bit of a break first.
Yeah. But yeah, as long as I'm not like training to be an astronaut, I think I'm good. I say that because I feel like that's the one job I wouldn't want to quit if I was doing.
Astronaut.
Yeah. Just like going to space. I don't know. That seems sick. It's fun. You never get to do anything. You can do all the orgs you want. Nothing compares to the real thing. It's so fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, Claire, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking, Taryn.
This was so much fun. I'd ask you to plug stuff, but that's not really your thing.
No. I don't care. If you want to find me, you can find me. I'm not doing anything else. I don't know what to tell you.
Do you tweet your thoughts on things?
I have a Twitter. I have an Instagram. You can follow me at Claire Rafis. If this is coming out recently, I also normally tweet about Survivor. You know, I'll occasionally toss a like to a Big Brother Canada 10 tweet, but you know, my secret's out. I'm not really keeping up with it, unfortunately. So I am deceiving you. But you know, I can like things. And then it's not for whatever reason. But you know, I tweet about things. And I have an Instagram that I do not really post to. And I guess to follow Derek's stuff if you want to. I don't really know. He's not doing this interview. I don't need to promote any of his things. So yeah, you know, check out maybe my Goodreads. If you want to see what I'm reading, I guess.
Unfortunately, limited to only a 1 through 5 rating system instead of a 1 through 10 rating system, but that's fine.
Oh, what do you use a different book source, Tara?
I wish I could. I wish there was any other option other than Goodreads. I have to use my own like separate spreadsheet thing.
What is that?
It's called an Airtable. It's okay. Like a spreadsheet, but it's a little fancier. It's a little prettier. That's what I have to do.
Prettier than Excel? Oh, a Microsoft man. Product?
Slander? Whoops. Uh-oh.
It's okay. I don't blame you. But I'll Bing it. Look it up on Bing later.
All right. Sounds good. There you go. Thank you so much for listening to this conversation on The Taran Show with Claire. I had a really good time talking with Claire. I hope you enjoyed it as well. As always, you can find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taran Armstrong. I also, we got off onto a tangent about the Farseer trilogy during this podcast, which I have decided I will release at another time, probably on the Taran Quest YouTube channel or something along those lines, if you're interested in hearing us nerd out about fantasy books for a good like half hour to 40 minutes. So you can check that out at some point in the future. But until then, stay tuned for the next Taran Show. Check out all the other stuff I've got going on. And I will see you next time.
It's the Taran Show.